With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Now, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Can you do that for me? We're going to continue on with what we began teaching Wednesday night. And before we begin the message today, I want to read this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Guys, here's the thing. And is a rewarder of those who seek Him. That's the fundamentals of faith. And we're going to talk about faith and how it comes and how it grows, because I think sometimes we misunderstand it in the body of Christ. But you have to have faith to please God. You have to have faith to access the goodness of God. Although all these things are established and purchased for you, listen, they're not yours automatically. They're yours legally. But, you know, they're not yours automatically. You have to tend to them. You have to go after them. And doing that is not just an act of your will and making a decision. Okay? And we're going to study that this morning. I want you to write five things down. And this is, if you'll begin to meditate on these things, God will bring you revelation concerning them. Faith, number one, is conceived in your spirit. Conceived in your spirit. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Praise the Lord. Number two, faith fills your heart. For faith to be perfect, according to the King James, or perfected, for faith to be complete, these five things must take place. First, it must be conceived in your spirit. Second, the faith of God must fill your heart. Three, faith must govern your thoughts. Can you write that down? Govern your thoughts. Number four, faith dominate. It must dominate your speech. It must dominate your speech. That doesn't mean you're not going to say things that don't line up with your faith all the time, but it should be the dominant factor of what you say. Faith should be rising up inside of you, should be coming out of your mouth with some kind of consistency. So dominate is a good word to put there to describe. It needs to fill your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Out of the abundance of the what? So if your heart is full of faith, then what's going to come out of your mouth? If your heart isn't full of faith, then what's going to come out of your mouth? Doubt, unbelief, fear. Come on. Now, that doesn't mean, now this is very important, because we're talking about the order of it. You can't change what's in your heart by changing what you say. That's like putting the cart before the horse. You're going nowhere fast. You're just frustrating the horse. He's meant to pull, not to push. So faith is, it's a harvest of what's in your heart. It's an abundance of what's in your heart. And if you find yourself, praise the Lord, if you find yourself not agreeing with what you're saying, here I'm going to pose this to you, maybe your heart has more unrenewed thoughts being deposited than revelation that is rising. All right? We'll talk about that just a little bit this morning. That's not really what we want to go into and focus on. So faith must fill your heart. It must govern your thoughts. It must dominate your speech. That's number three is govern your thoughts. Four is dominate your speech. And five is mandate your behavior. Mandate your behavior. And I was really searching hard for, you know, your behavior should conform to your faith. So, you know, trying to find in English the word that describes what I see in my spirit, it is the thing that causes your actions to conform. It's the mold for the jello. Come on. It's the rules that you allow yourself to be governed by. But it's more automatic than that. So it mandates your behavior. Amen? So everybody say faith is conceived in your spirit, fills your heart, governs your thought, dominates your speech, and mandates your behavior. Now let's talk about the nature of faith, Ephesians chapter 2. This morning there's just a teaching anointing, so we're going to go in that. I believe the Lord God has asked me to teach this morning, not to preach. I'll try not to get preachy then. Verse 8. For it is by grace, everybody say grace. Grace gives you things you don't deserve. Mercy withholds the things that you do. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Everybody say through faith. See, without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to receive from God. Without faith, sin, fe, is impossible to receive from God. Without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. And this is not of yourselves, it goes on to say, but is a gift from God. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance. Now, all this hinges upon one thing, and that is faith. Everybody say faith. All this hinges upon faith. Now, faith is not from you. That's real important. If you get that this morning, it'll free you up. If you get that this morning, it'll set you up for victory. Faith is not from you. It's a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Faith is not a natural substance. Faith is spiritual. Okay? Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, so many times I think that we have a misunderstanding about faith as if that we are solely responsible for it. That faith is what we believe. That's part of faith, but it's not faith. What we believe conforms to our faith. What we believe conforms to our faith. I want to pose something to you this morning so that you can begin to give it thought and compare it with the Word of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? The mouth speaks. Well, where do the things come from that end up in your heart? The Bible says that you're to guard your heart with all diligence, right? The Bible says you're to fill your heart with the good things of God. So listen, there are two sources of what brings in the stuff that goes into your heart. Two sources. One is your soul or your mind. And this is where thoughts come from. This is where your emotions reside. This is where your will is. Your will is you make a decision to do something. That's in your will. It's a force that you hold. So thoughts descend into your heart. Thoughts drop into your heart. God does not speak to your thoughts. God speaks to your spirit. Thoughts descend, revelation rises. Am I going too fast for you guys this morning? Right, let's sing a little song. Maybe we'll all get on the same page here. Thoughts descend, revelation rises. Faith is from your spirit. It's not a product of your head. Your thoughts are to conform to your faith. All right? So the word says in the book of James, he says, now brothers, you know, with the same tongue you bless and the same tongue you curse. He says, can salt water or bad water, dead water, and living water, good water, come from the same source? He says, my brothers, this should not be. So it's not the source See, because the source of everything that's good comes out of your spirit if you're born again. But then you also have this thing that's in conjunction, that's very closely related to your spirit, called your soul. And your soul will deposit things in your heart. So there's a mixture. Everybody say mixture. I had a friend in Zimbabwe one time, and we went into the kitchen as we were leaving his house, and his wife had made Kool-Aid, and he tasted it, and he spit it into the sink, and he said, "This is weak, woman. Where's the sugar?" He said, "If you make Kool-Aid like this for my kids, I'll send you back to the village from where I got you." I tried that with Nija, and it didn't work very well. But the mixture was weak. There was more water than there was flavor and sugar. Come on. And if your thinking is not in line with God's word and his will, everybody say word and will. See, the spirit and the word always agree. And if your thinking isn't in line with it, then you're going to water down all of the good stuff that's coming up out of your spirit. And you're going to speak, and listen very carefully, you're going to speak out of the abundance of your heart. Now, that's where belief is. You believe in your heart. So instead of thinking that belief is an act of your will where you decide what you're going to do and what you think of belief being the mixture of what's in here. See, because if your belief lines up with your faith, now all you got to do is do. All things are possible for those who... What? All things are possible for those who believe. There's nothing worse than trying to believe something you don't believe. There's nothing worse than trying to get your conduct and your mouth in line with something that doesn't fill your heart. Because then you're in conflict. Is this too simple? So if you can't change, you can fill your heart with more of the Spirit. That's why, listen, when you're in church, you can act godly. Because your spirit's getting full. And your spirit is flooding your heart. And so you can act good for 10, 15 minutes after church if your thoughts start taking over, your unrenewed thoughts, and now your believer gets full. Your believer's in your heart. Isn't that good? Faith is spiritual. So believing is not faith, but your faith is supposed to be, listen very carefully, governed by your faith. So let me read these again to you, okay? Faith is conceived in your spirit. And we're going to talk about that this morning, because faith is not an act of your will. Faith is born. How many of you guys have been born in here? Come on. I hope every head. Did your mama have any babies that lived? Come on. Were you born? How many of you decided to get born? How many of you were in there and said, I want to come out? Not one of you. But when you were conceived, when your daddy's seed hit your mama's ovum and life began. Then it just grew, and then it grew, and it grew, and you grew, and you grew, and you started to take on your own character and in your own nature. And when you were ready, you came out. But not by an act of your will, but everything lined up, and all of a sudden, let's say there was faith. And you came out, and you manifested. Okay? Faith is born by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The ovum is your spirit. And every man, woman, and child that is born on this earth is born ready to receive life. Come on, ready to receive life, ready to be impregnated with the Word of God. And the Word of God comes out of the abundance of your heart when your spirit is governing your soul by the Word and the will of God. And it comes out of your mouth and goes into the ear gate, a spiritual substance, into the spirit of a man or a woman. And if they choose not to reject it, if they don't abort it, if they don't reject the thing, it will produce life, and eventually it'll hatch off and become faith. And faith, if acted upon, come on, by confession out of the believer's heart. Now, if it's acted upon, it'll come out and it will produce a Christian. So see, Christians are born by the word of God that comes out of your mouth. The words that come out of your mouth lodges in their spirit. And if they don't reject a thing, they have no choice because God created them. And they're going to have to make a decision to receive. They're going to have to make a decision to yield to the labor. Come on. And out of that, when it fills their spirit and it rises up and it begins to, let me use that word again, dominate their thoughts in the place of believing in the heart, then when they confess Jesus as Lord, the miracle happens and they're converted and they're born of Him. Did life begin, listen very carefully, because I'm really trying to break this down. Did life begin when they confessed Jesus as their Lord? No. Life began when the Word of God hit their ovum, the spirit of the man, the inside of their spirit. Life began. And they let that thing stay in them and work, and maybe they nourished it, maybe they cared for it, and then it filled their heart, belief came, and then they yielded to labor in prayer, confess Jesus as their Lord, and now their faith became effective for their salvation. Oh, that's just a different way of looking at it, Pastor. Hopefully, but it's the same truth. Now, everything in the kingdom of God is activated by that process, is worked through that process. Whether it's healing, provision, protection, whether it's for a husband or a wife, whatever it's for, guys, whether it's for provision or favor, everything in the kingdom of God comes to you through this process. Let me read that process again to you. Faith is conceived in your spirit. It's not of you. It fills your heart. Then it begins, faith governs your thoughts. It dominates your speech and it mandates your behavior. Well, that seems pretty easy. Just like Adam had to tend to the garden so he could maintain that relationship with God. Protection, provision, come on. Unity with Him. Abundance. You have to tend to your faith because you're this side of heaven. You've got to, that doesn't mean that you increase your faith, you grow your faith. How many of you are you the, besides Pastor Josh, are you the same size that you were when you came out of your mama? He's grown a little bit. But I've seen him in the gym too. Because he wants to increase some biceps and triceps. Then he got married and quit working out. But we're born one way, but then what we are is a product of what we feed ourselves, how much sleep we get. Come on. You know, you can eat cotton candy all day long, but you're never going to have a bicep that's worth anything. So you have to tend to your faith. Faith can increase. Faith can grow. You're going to be held accountable for the faith that you enter into heaven with. Because if it's the same measure of faith that you're born with, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do some answering. And God gives each person, whether they're 7 years old or 70, the same measure of faith when we start. And it's up to you to increase that thing. And this is how it increases. It's conceived in your spirit. It needs to fill your heart, govern your thoughts, dominate your speech, and mandate your behavior. And you can increase how much faith is in your heart. That's not all on the sovereign side of God. That's in your portfolio, your utilities, the tools that you've been given to increase the things of God in your life. You can cause faith to fill your heart in a greater measure. That's where belief is. Remember, we're saying it's the mixture of what's in your heart. Really, can it come down to that kind of equation? Absolutely. Can it be that easy? Yes. See, the things of, we don't have to create the things of God in our life. We have to yield to them and tend to them. We have to let God merge into our life, in our heart. Let God merge into our life, in our soul. Let God merge into our life, in our physical actions. So if you're, I'm just trying to straighten this thing out and yank the slack out of you. If you let God fill you, and you let God begin to invade these areas of your heart and your head and your actions, and you let God invade those areas, because at first it's going to seem like he's invading, but he was made to be there. You were made to have him govern you. Instead of trying to change your destiny by conforming your words, making your words say what you've been told they should say, instead of trying to change your future by making your actions line up with what you think they're supposed to be, see, it should be more of a fruit instead of a discipline. And then your fruit is strengthened by discipline. See, the thing, you can't necessarily... No man can tame the tongue. Can somebody say that with me? No man can tame the tongue. Now, is that Bible? So why have you been trying to get things from God by taming your tongue? Change your belief. How do I change my belief? I let my thoughts be conformed to my faith in the Word of God. Come on. I get in the presence of God and I let the Spirit of God rise up inside of me. Wouldn't it be better, instead of trying to be good around your mother-in-law, just to be good? Instead of trying to not cuss at church, wouldn't it be better not to have cursing in your heart? See, that's what salvation is about. That's what being converted is about. Instead of trying to cause change from the outside in, God is changing you from the inside out. Well, then I don't have to rework that change every day. Because once I'm changed, and I just need to yield to it. Well, where do I change? The change is not in my spirit, because if I'm born again, I have the faith of God, I have the love of God, come on, I have a spirit of self-control. All of these things came to me when I was born again, but I was born as a baby. Now I need to grow up. How do I grow up? I let it begin to fill my heart. I let it begin to dominate my thinking. I let it begin to mandate my actions, fill my heart, govern my thoughts, dominate my speech, and mandate my behavior. Now that's how I grow. And I don't have to do, God never asks you to do, he never will ask you to do anything. He won't give you the power to do it. So in filling my heart, let's just throw a number out there that 75% of it's going to be God, 25% of it's going to be you. We've had it the other way around. We're trying to do 75% of the work by our flesh and by an act of our will when it was only made to supplement what God is doing. It wasn't meant to be the fortification and the strength of your will. That's just supposed to be a part of it. So you can't say, it's all in God's hands. No, it's not. There's a chunk that's in your hands. But as you let God fill your heart, let's use that example again about being in the middle of God's presence. You're in praise and you're in worship. And, you know, there's nothing distracting like raindrops falling on your head. And it's not really cold. But you're just aware of Him. Okay, what happens? Your heart is being filled. Your spirit is always connected to God if you've been born again. But by an act of your will, you let Him fill you. You become more aware of His Spirit, and then that fills your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, you speak and you act. You see, I threw that in there. What did I throw in there? Come on, somebody who's sharp. Act. You speak and you act according to your heart. Now, there's a place in the world that relies only on human ability. Somebody say human ability. Your strength and your ability. And they used to call it the higher life or an ascended life. And the universities teach it, and it works. You can think higher than the rest of the world. You can think at a different level. And see, all that's doing is changing your belief. But listen, if you think in a way that is not governed by your spirit and the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you're still relying on your strength. God doesn't want to replace your strength. He wants to work through your strength. God doesn't want you to be a blooming idiot and to dismiss your intellect. He wants to work through your intellect. God doesn't want you to, He doesn't want you, well, I just got to be true to my heart. No, God wants you to be true to your heart. He wants to work through your heart. So faith is not a matter of discipline alone. That is a small percentage of it. But it's also what gives God permission to get in there. All right. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. No, let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm so sorry. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Are we there at 2 Corinthians? What chapter are we in? Did we read it yet? Okay, verse 13. You guys just need to catch up with me. Praise the Lord. I've been going since 5 o'clock this morning. Praise the Lord. God just woke me up, and I'm going, okay. And then I had some coffee. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. We speak what we believe. And we have the same spirit of faith. Now, this is key. So faith is not soulish, although your faith will change your soul. Faith is not fleshy, although your flesh manifests. That's what speaking is, from your tongue, idioma, from your tongue, linguista. From your tongue, you speak. Vocal cords, physical stuff. So faith, if you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, when you speak it out of your mouth, miracles will happen. But you have to see it in your spirit. It's not in your head. Your head conforms to what you see in your spirit. God destined you, God made you, God created every man, woman, and child to be governed by their spirit. That's why demons want a body. Every one of us needs to be governed by our spirit. And our spirit needs to be governed by God. If it's not, it's going to be governed by something else. And you don't want any of that. Because it will lead you to death and destruction. It'll lead you to travesty. It'll lead you to court battles. It'll lead you to poverty. That's where other spirits will lead you. Because there's no other spirit that wants to give and has your best interests in heart. But God said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a hope and plans with a future. It's bright and it's good. It's to bless you. It's not to hurt you. So you see it down in here. As you begin to allow, I call it thinking out of your spirit. Not bypassing my mind or my intellect. How many of you know pastor's not a dummy? I don't bypass my intellect. I don't bypass my thinking. I allow my thinking to be governed by, controlled by, formed and molded by what's in my spirit. And the way that I uncover what's in my spirit, did I say uncover? That means to reveal, is through the Word of God. The Word of God peels back the layers that cover the revelation in my spirit, allows it to rise up in my heart and your heart. Once it fills your heart, then it can begin to dominate or control your mind, cause your mind to be transformed. Once your thoughts are in line with that, God doesn't have to work very hard to work through you. Do you know what light is produced from in most of these filaments? It's produced by electricity. Electricity is not light. Ask Caleb. He felt what electricity was. Ooh, scared him bad. Listen, electricity, that's caused from resistance of the electricity flowing through the wire, flowing through the element. And that resistance produces light. If there was no resistance, it'd be pure electricity. It just flow. There's resistance in the electrical lines, but not a bunch. But that's why if you get around real heavy electrical lines, you'll hear a hum. You'll feel you can feel the vibration because there's resistance as electricity passes through that medium. And listen, if there is no resistance in your heart, no resistance in your mind, God can flow through you pure and easy. Where does the resistance come from? Because your heart may not be filled with things that it should be filled with. An old way of thinking, an old habit, a way of condemning yourself, a way of judging others. Maybe your heart's full of unforgiveness or hate for a person or a race or whatever. Faith doesn't just come on its own. Just like a baby, it has to be conceived. A seed has got to hit the ovum. Praise the Lord. And the seed is the Word of God. Life begins. It's not a fleshy thing. It's not a soulless thing. Faith is a spiritual thing. Listen to this. Faith is not taught. Faith is not soulless. Faith is not natural. Faith is not fleshy. Faith is not an attitude. Faith is spiritual. Faith is alive. Faith is born. Listen, it's not taught, it's imparted. Faith is received. And God made every single person from birth a receiver. You can't do nothing about it. Once the word gets in there, life's going to begin. Whether or not they carry it full term into salvation. Now, that's a part of their will as they allow it to work in them. And you let it work in you. You remember? You remember when, before you got born again, somebody said something, started working in you, and you didn't like it at first. It felt foreign. It felt like it was going to steal from you. It felt like it wasn't going to complete you. It felt like it was going to take from you. And as you yielded to it, maybe somebody said something else, and somebody prayed with you, and then you heard a sermon, or you listened to a song on the radio. All the time, you're getting nutrients, spiritual nutrients to that life that's in you. And you know it's in you because as soon as you hear it, it's working. Brother T.L. Osborne used to say, you let it get in there and like a seed inside of a chicken egg, and eventually, if you just keep warming it up, it's going to hatch off and become a Christian. Everything in the kingdom of God works that way. Everything. Provision, life, opportunity, wealth, health, healing, come on, joy, peace, even happiness. All of those things work by this process. It is conceived in your spirit. It begins to fill your heart. It governs your thought and dominates your speech. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Nobody's gone home yet, have you? You understand if you all keep pulling on the anointing like this, that not only are you going to receive the best word in town, but this house is going to be full. And so, you know, what you're doing is you're opening up your spirits. I don't know if you're here Wednesday, but I made the mention. See, Faith just did. Did you notice a raindrop hit me on my head? But I didn't act like it. My face says it's dry in here. Praise the Lord. If you keep pulling on the anointing, you are going to receive the highest quality of word in this city. And it will produce something in you, and it will fill this house. And there has to be an anticipation. There has to be an expectation for faith, the spiritual substance, to be received. And I said Wednesday night, I said, have you ever heard a cat, a female cat out there that's in heat? Every male cat in a mile radius knows when a female cat's in heat. And I talked about the way the atmosphere changes out in the timber. Mike and Kathy got some beautiful timber, and there's deer out there. They don't see the big bucks all year long until the does go in heat. And when the does go in heat, all of a sudden you see the bucks because they're letting out a pheromone. They're letting out a pheromone. They're letting out a scent that they're ready. And listen, the anointing works the same way. Everything spiritual works the same way. You got to let that scent out there in the Holy Ghost that you want to receive. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. How many of you would like to, I'm just taking a little journey here. How would you like to have some of the best preachers in the world right here in this place? How would you like that? Huh? Marilyn Hickey, Joyce Myers, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen. You know, people are making a difference in the world. Bill Winston, making a difference in the world. How would you like them right here? You got to put out the scent. You do it right now before they get here, and they'll be here. This house has hosted some of the best global voices in the world. Catherine Coleman and Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, 1948. Just tremendous things happened in this house because somebody put out the scent. Amen. All right, faith must be conceived in your spirit, fill your heart, govern your thoughts, dominate your speech, and mandate your behavior. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law or by believing what you heard? The answer is by believing what you heard. And when you look at this scripture and you look at any other place in the New Testament where the word belief is, what I want you to do is to start changing your thinking. Instead of an act of your will, do you know what I mean by an act of your will? Okay, I'm going to believe. I'm going to choose to believe that. Let me propose this to you. Just you being here tells me that you've chosen to believe the word. So it's not believing harder. Pastor Johnny Merkel, Pastor Nige's brother, you know, he was raised in an Asian household. And in the Asian culture, you got to be smart. You got to work hard. His mother would wake him up at 2 o'clock in the morning to work hard on studies. 3 o'clock in the morning. Just crazy times. Wake him up. Study, study, study. When John came to live with us in high school, I said, John, you can't study harder. Identify what that means. You can't work faster. Identify what that means. Because if I just say I have to work harder and I got to work smarter, all that's going to build is frustration because, see, I don't know when I cross the finish line. I don't know when smarter is smart enough, harder is hard enough, faster is fast enough. It's a finish line that keeps moving. And if you think you have to believe more, well, how do you do that? So I want you to think of filling your heart. Think of it as a physical container. Filling it with the pure word of God. Filling it with the anointed message. Filling it with things that are rising out of your spirit, not necessarily things that are descending. Unless the things that are descending line up, then there you go. Now you have no battle. So if you think like God thinks, well, how can I do that? No one knows the thoughts of God but God Himself, and His Spirit knows His thoughts. Spirit and the Word are one. So if I think like God, if I talk like God, I'm going to act like God. I'm going to act at least like God's Son. Amen. All right. I got to believe harder. No, what you have to do is just fill your heart. If your heart's full, it's going to change what you say and what you do. Now let's go to Romans chapter. Did I go to Romans 10 already? Romans 10, verse 17. We've got two more scriptures, and I might let you go. So remember, faith is not an act of your will. Faith is spiritual. It's conceived. Everybody say, faith is born. I was born. Say that. Faith is born. I was born again. So when does birth occur? When the growth in that phase is done. I remember, listen, I had been married when I was young, and God delivered me supernaturally from that. I don't know how to explain that, you know, but I still have to take the responsibility for that because a man always has to take the responsibility for a failed marriage. But I was praying, and 4 years later, you know, I'm praying, I'm in Bible school, I'm praying for a wife. I think I'm praying for a wife, and then I decided I don't want a wife. I'll go out and get a dog, and then I met Nija, and praise the Lord, we got married. It was good stuff. But I remember in the process, I'm praying for a godly wife, right? And God tells me He's not going to bring me a godly wife until I become the man that can support a godly wife. Here, let me go over here. I was praying for a godly wife. And God said to me, I'm not going to bring you a godly wife until you become the man that can support a godly wife, which meant I had to become a godly man. Well, how do I become a godly man? Well, I want the wife. No, I need to become a godly man. And then God will, all the power of heaven will, and she chased me down. I'm telling you. I slowed up a little bit a couple times. Let her catch me. It's true. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing the message, and hearing the message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ, or the word of Christ. Faith is born. And as I let it work in me, then I become mature. When did my faith for a wife become mature? When I got married. Because then I wasn't lacking a wife, right? But was it alive? Yeah. But I had to grow up, and I had to become a man of God who could support a woman of God or a godly woman. So guys, don't be praying for a godly woman like she's going to change you. That's not the way it works. You become a man who can support a godly woman, and God will bring one. And if you're married and she's not godly, then you'll be godly. Praise the Lord. That's good, isn't it? So faith is born inside of you, and then everything is manifested from that. It works from the inside out. It begins in your spirit. It fills your heart. Then it begins to transform your, govern your mind. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and then your actions are going to conform or follow that. If you can change, here's the way the world thinks. If I can change what I think, I'll change what I say, and I'll change that. What if I change what I say, that'll change what I do. If I change what I do, my destiny will be altered or changed. Well, that is true, but that's not the complete story, because that's all based on your ability. You let it come up out of your spirit. How does it get in your spirit? By the word. Well, it's already there. Yes, but is it mature? Is it complete? Do you have the full revelation of it? You uncover it. The same way it gets in there, you uncover it. The same way faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not having heard. One of the most frustrating things in the world is when I'm counseling somebody and I say, well, tell me about your Bible. I read the Bible in 1996. Okay. When was the last time you had a hamburger? When was the last time you had lunch? When was the last time you had breakfast? Are you living off the nutrition of 1996? See, I remember when I had this preacher friend, and he was flabbier than I am right now. And he said to me, he said, I've always been a jock. He's like 45. I've always been a jock. And I said, no, sir, you were a jock. You're not a jock any longer. And I grabbed his belly, you know. So the working out that he did in high school didn't carry through to his 40s. So the same way that faith comes is the same way that faith is developed, is the same way that it's revealed and increases and causes you to become mature. And if you're not a man or a woman who is in the Word of God, and listen, you don't have to read it, although that is the best. You want to know, I really think the best is to read it and listen to it at the same time. We have the technology, you can do that right on your smartphone. I think it's absolutely the best. Because you're muttering and you're conforming and you're getting it deep down inside of your spirit. But listen, if you have trouble reading, then just listen to the Word of God. But you know what? If you get your eye, I'm meddling right now. But if you listen to the Word and you look at the words at the same time, guess what? You're going to be able to read in a very short period of time. It doesn't matter even if you're I can't even say it. It's too big a word. If you cannot read, you look at the Word of God and you listen to the Word of God. Well, yeah, but I'm backwards. I'm dicks, whatever it is. Well, let God straighten that out. He can do it. Praise the Lord. So faith is born of the Word of God. It's fed by the Spirit of God. It's tended to by the Word of God. It's conceived in your spirit, fills your heart, governs your thoughts, dominates your speech, and mandates your behavior. One last scripture, Corinthians chapter 2. Can you all do me a favor real quick? Just stand up on your feet real quick. And I want you to say, faith is born.
Faith is born.
Faith is born. Faith is born. All right, now be seated. Now you're going to listen. Praise the Lord. We have a danger in our society, and it is this. 20 years ago, the average attention span was 17 and a half minutes. But because we live in a microwave type oven world, because we have commercials every 7.5 minutes now, the average attention span has dropped below 10 minutes. And the next generation is worse. And unfortunately, we're being transferred. We're being governed by that, and we shouldn't. We're subject to it, but we shouldn't be governed by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I asked Brother Osborne one time, T.L., I said, how come we don't have the miracles in the church like we used to? And I was expecting a really profound statement. And T.L. just had a way of saying things so simple. He says, because we don't know how to wait in the presence of God. About the time God's ready to move, everybody's, you know, fidgeting and get ready to get their tortillas and their roast out of the oven. So just consider it a burnt sacrifice and go out to Arby's. Verse 13. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what, guys? Say that real loud. So it's conceived in your spirit, it fills your heart, it governs your thought, dominates your speech, and mandates your behavior. Verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. Faith cannot be taught, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit, everybody say without. That's capital S, so it's not the person without a human spirit, it's the person without the Spirit of God. Does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. This is very important. And cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. Now, pick your eyes up from your Bible just for a minute. You are to make judgments about all things, but not according to the way you feel, according to the Word. You know, I get so frustrated, I could almost say bad things, but it is ridiculous that we have to think and pause before we talk about homosexuality being a sin, before we talk about adultery being a sin. That is ridiculous. Who says we get to decide what is right and what is wrong? No, we get to yield to what is right and what is wrong. And just because somebody is in sin doesn't mean they don't need a Savior, right? I mean, you all were in sin at one time, and some of you still are. I don't make the decision of what is right or wrong. I make judgments based on what God said. And what God said is right there in our book. So when we make judgments, we're not talking about, well, I don't like that. That don't make me feel good. Well, honey, everything in the kingdom of God doesn't make your flesh feel good. But it's there to lead you to something that will be eternally rewarding on this side of heaven and that side. Okay, let's go back to this because it's important. The person without the Spirit does not accept them, these things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them. So don't expect somebody who's not born again to act like they are, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Now, the person without the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. And you're not subject to merely human judgments. For who knows the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In the Spirit of God is the mind of Christ. In the Spirit of God is the faith of God. It's something that you were born with when you made Jesus your Lord and your Savior. It's in there. All of the answers about righteousness, holiness, protection, provision, healing, forgiveness, love, it's all in there. You were born with faith. Now, just because you're born doesn't mean that you're mature. So let's talk about maturity before we close. Maturity is letting the faith that you were born of fill your heart. Maturity is letting the faith that you were born with begin to govern your thoughts. Begin to dictate your speech. Maturity is letting the faith that you were born with begin to cause your actions to conform to that faith you're born with. Oh God, I'm going to meddle. If the only time you feel holy is when you're in the presence of God in a corporate setting, then you're not growing like you should. When you come into the presence of God in an anointed worship service, it is like putting on training wheels. You can do things that you can't do all by yourself. But you don't put training wheels on so that when you're 40, you buy a Harley and ride a trike. That's a personal preference. You know what I'm talking about? A three-wheeled motorcycle? Training wheels you put on a bicycle so you can take them off. Now, unless somebody is handicapped in a way, if I see a 12-year-old with training wheels on, I'm going to think something's wrong. If some kid pulls up to junior high and he's got training wheels on his bike, something ain't right with that boy. So if you need training wheels to begin to say things right, to think right, to act right, in other words, if you need to be in the court and the corporate presence is there to train, that's okay. But if you need that to be holy, now hold on, so you're not mature like you should be, and it's not as hard as you think. You just have to let the faith that you've been born with, that you see inside of your spirit, you see yourself doing something that's extraordinary. You see yourself operating in a business that's way beyond where you possibly could go right now. You see yourself preaching in front of millions. You see yourself raising up orphanages or training facilities for people in the business world or in the spiritual world. You see these things inside here, and let that begin to fill your heart. That does take an act of your will, but not as much as you've been thinking. Let your thoughts begin to conform to that. How do you do that? Find more about that subject in the Word of God. And pretty soon your heart will be filled because what's up here will line up with what's down here. And now you got two sources filling it. Come on, the pure, unadulterated Word of God, good Kool-Aid, man. And it starts coming out of your mouth. And if you do that long enough, people are gonna want to come around and get a drink. And if it's coming out of your mouth, guess what's going to soon follow? Because your tongue is the steering wheel of your life. It's the rudder that sets the direction of your sailboat. And if it's coming out, guys, listen very carefully. If it's coming out in what we would call a natural process, instead of just by discipline, your future has no chance in failure. Fill your heart. Dictate your speech. Govern your mind. Let it conform your actions. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.